定中吧。
The redeemed. We worship you now. Father, we worship you. We stand in awe of your holiness, your great righteousness and integrity. Light in which there is no darkness at all. Absolute light, absolute life, absolute love. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves, being fully conscious of the limitations of the human mind to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of Almighty God that is compressed into this written word. And so we come to ask you to help me, help us, as I speak, that I would speak as an oracle of God. Give me fresh unction and anointing, that I would speak as I should. And put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear me, so that the word will have free course. It will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As I speak, I pray the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and will free men, so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver this word, my God, that I might do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said, I have a landmark message today. And my wife's exhortation was just like a primer, like a John the Baptist thing, you know, to prepare the way for this message. It's such an important message. And it's entitled God's Integrity. Very simple. Many years ago, I preached a message called The Integrity of God's Word. It's 1983 to be precise. I preached it in the University of Ibadan, the Christian Union, and that word has reverberated down through the years. I think one of the biggest problems today in the church, and my wife touched on it when she was exhorting us, is people really don't know God. Know who God is. And that's why we waver. Tossed to and fro. Double-minded. Today God is good. Tomorrow I'm not so sure. We allow our situations and circumstances, sadly, to dictate how we perceive God. And the essence of this is not just a prophetic message, because it's true for all time. This is an eternal message. It's been true 10,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. It's true today. It will be true tomorrow. And I didn't just say integrity of God. I talk about God's integrity. Of course, his word naturally will have integrity. But I want to talk about God as a person and his integrity. What is integrity? I preached this many years ago. You can use three terms to define a person of integrity. This is somebody who has integrity. He has these three characteristics. It's honesty. I would say honesty. Reliability. And consistency.
Let me break that down. There was a consistency. I didn't hear you. See, a person may be honest. In other words, he has good intentions, but he's not reliable. He may not be a liar. He may say, oh yeah, I will do this. But he just does not have either the financial or the physical or the material resources or the skills to be able to back what he has said. So even though he's honest, because he's not reliable, he really doesn't have integrity. Or rather, you can't count on him. You see, the word integrity means something that is complete. In mathematics, we talk about integers. Integer is a whole number. So when something is wholesome, when it's complete, it has integrity. That's the, grammatical, semantic meaning of the word integrity. And the third thing is consistency. He's not only honest and reliable, but he's honest and reliable all the time. That's the consistency. Now, you have men who are honest and reliable some of the time. But sometimes, and we all say, everybody says it, even we Christians who shouldn't say it, under the circumstances, I'm not able to perform as I thought I would perform. And he didn't lie. And he has done it in the past, but this particular situation was so difficult, the man could not perform. So he is not consistent. But when you have somebody who has all the three characteristics rolled into one, he's honest, person of great moral uprightness, then you add reliability to that. He has the wisdom, he has the power, he has the resources to back what he says. And then thirdly, and this is the thing that makes God really separate from us, is consistent. And mommy touched on it this morning. I am the Lord, I change not, no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, such a person is the kind of person you can truly rely on. And that is the kind of person our God is. Sadly and regrettably, many Christians haven't come to see him like that. And therefore, in our walk with God, we vacillate. Today, we trust God. When something happens, we wonder, hey, where is he? We can't say with our mouths, but many times our hearts murmur, doubt, unbelief, even sometimes downright blasphemy, even though we can't say it. Get angry with God in our hearts, and we now direct that anger at the pastor. I can't get God, but at least that man is the man that represents him. That woman is the woman that always speaks on, his word. So, since I can't vent my anger at God, I can't touch God physically, I now vent the anger on the vessel or the messenger that God has sent. And God wants to correct this situation. Hence this message. Let's first of all look at God's honesty. And there are two scriptures I want to look at. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17 to start with. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17. We're going to look at verse 17 and 18. Let's read together. We say, wherein, I didn't hear you, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was what? Impossible. Everybody shout it. Impossible. For God to lie. I want you to look at your neighbor eyeball to eyeball. Say, it is impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible for God to lie. He is absolutely honest. Give him a clap offering. Absolutely. Absolutely. honesty is beyond question. It's impossible. I want to ask you, it's good for us to meditate. Let's ask, why do you lie anyway? Yeah, why do people lie when they're under pressure? Yes. Usually lie because you want to get something from somebody. Or you don't want to get into trouble. Somebody has said something about you and then you just quickly say, no, it's not like that. So you know, and then you lie. You know, you lie for greed. You lie for protection. You lie for favor. People lie. People lie with their clothes. They lie with their cars. They lie with everything. They want to belong to a particular social class. They don't belong in it. Then they go and rent a car to make people think that they're in that social class. It's a lie. Why do we lie? We lie for those three things. We lie because of greed. We lie, you know, for self-preservation. We lie because of the pride of life. Who is God trying to impress? That he has to lie. Who is God afraid of? That he has to lie. Who does God, you know, who is going to hurt God? Can you see? He has no reason to lie. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. That's why he told, you know, when he told Moses to go and tell Pharaoh, he tried to look for a way of saying who he was. He said, Moses said, if they ask me who sent you, God thought about it. He said, tell them I am that I am. Constant. God does not lie. He cannot lie. No reason to lie. He doesn't want to deceive anybody. He's not afraid of anybody hurting him. And he's not in anybody's class. That he wants to lie so that he will, you know, you'll be impressed with him. I'm going somewhere with this. So God doesn't lie. You can take that to the bank. Another scripture I want to share. This is not as familiar as this one. Many Christians are familiar with it. Before I leave this scripture, let's look at it in the Amplified Bible. There's a beauty. Look at verse 17 first in the Amplified. It says, accordingly, I didn't hear you. God also, in his desire to show more convincingly and beyond doubt to those who are to inherit the promise. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are one of those who are inheriting the promise. You're the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ. He's talking, keep talking. He's talking to you and I directly. This scripture is not to any other person, it's to you. If you are an heir of the promise, this scripture is directed to you. God wants to show you more convincing, beyond any doubt, the unchangeableness of his purpose and his plan, therefore, to make you rest. What mommy was talking about. To give you security. To make you have an anchor. So that your mind won't go to this and go like this tomorrow. God now confirmed, he had already promised to. Then he now confirmed it with an oath. Next verse. This was so that by two unchangeable things, that's why I like the Amplified, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible, I love this, for God ever to prove what? False or deceive us who have fled to him for refuge might have mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed for us and set before us. Give the Lord a clap offering. This is what we are dealing with. It's impossible. It's impossible. I'm talking about God's honesty. God doesn't lie. He has no reason to. Apart from the fact that he has no reason to, he is not his character. God doesn't lie. If he tells you something, you can take it to the bank. It's certain. Then look at Psalm 97. Now, a lot of people are not very familiar with this. It's one, it helped me as a young Christian. It stabilized. These scriptures stabilized me. Another one which I haven't mentioned is that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We'll come to that. We might mention that later. You know, these are pillars. They are pillars of your Christian faith. If you don't know, if you don't believe this, if you don't know it by revelation, you will be a very unstable Christian. Look at Psalm 97, and it's in verse 2. We hit the ground running. I'll just leave it here in the King James. It says, clouds and darkness are round about him. Now watch this. Righteousness and what? Judgment and what? God's throne. The foundation of it is righteousness. His honesty is beyond question. You know, it's one of the things that helped me, and it will help you too, and it's still helping me. See, whenever questions come, and they will come, I thank God for mommy's exhortation this morning. See, you know what I was going to preach to? God just sent us a John the Baptist as a precursor to this message. I was shouting on the inside. When God... there will always be questions. There are so many things we don't understand. In your walk with God, there will always be questions. Oh, I thought, I prayed. I thought I would get X. I got Y. God, I fasted, like mommy said, I fasted 21 days. I did this, I did that. God, you know, Job's problem, the same problem. Job was a good man. We people who, by the grace of God, are relatively good and we're doing the will of God, sometimes it's more of a stumbling block sometimes. Because we get to question God and say, God, actually, it's me. Is it not me? Is it me? Is me only me? I get up at 4 a.m. in the morning, I pray, I come to church, I do this, I fast twice, and I do all of those things. It's true. And yet some things will happen that will seem totally contrary to that. The only thing that will keep you is still knowing this. You know what it means? There are things you don't know yet. There's a beautiful hymn. You know, God moves in mysterious ways. But I just want to bring out a part of one of the lyrics in that hymn. It's written by the old timers. You know, these guys had the Holy Ghost. Some of our modern songs don't know nothing about God. But another message for another day. You know, it says, behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. The clouds which look so heavy will break with mercy upon your head. Can't think about it. You see, if something looks bad, a frowning providence just means circumstances, is a frowning one. It looks as if it is bad. Do you understand? There's a smiling face behind it. There's something good God is working through that thing. You know the only thing that can keep you? Your trust in his integrity. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Thank you, Bimbo. You know, Ashola. You know, behind the frown, he had it. Yes, you can't trust. You know, all I know is what I can see. But God sees the bigger picture. God sees eternity. Then I have to trust. This is where faith comes in. I have to trust in God's righteousness. That if he has not done it, it's not because he didn't want to do it. It's not because he doesn't love me. He has done what is righteous for that time. Then I have a responsibility to go back to God. The Bible says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask what's going on here. And he will tell you, if you're open to it. I just got a text today, or a WhatsApp. How many people know God's on WhatsApp? He's on everything, amen.
He's on Facebook. You don't know. Go and check God's Facebook page. He posts all kinds of things there. All right. You know, I just got something from his Facebook. Amen. You know. And you need to understand this. God is the kind of person, if something happens, he may not tell you everything. But you have to trust that he has done the very best in that situation. He is a person of absolute integrity. It is that trust that keeps you going. It's not a blind faith. Blind as far as things are concerned, but not blind as far as God's character is concerned. Is this clear? I keep moving with God, even though I can't see everything, just simply because it is God. And I know God is good. And I know God is righteous. And I know God is just. So ultimately, whatever it is that's happening, I will come to understand it later. I'm not understanding it now. It may be 5 years' time. It may be in 10 years' time. But when I look back, I will say, God, truly, you are right. You've got to trust God when it doesn't make sense in your circumstances and in your situation. And it's one of the things Christians lack, many Christians lack. Trusting in God's integrity, you know, when there is no physical evidence. That's the difficult part for most of us. When every other thing seems contrary, after God, you know. But you've got to say, the righteousness and judgment at the habitation. One of the other translations is at the foundation of his throne. God will not do unrighteousness. You know what God said, what Abraham said to God when he wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? He said, be it far from thee to do this. He said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You know why? Abraham knew him. Isn't it sad that in the Old Testament, Abraham had a clearer picture of God's character than many New Testament Christians? He said, shall not, he knew God. He said, is it being far from thee to do this? Shall not the judge of the whole earth do? He knew God. And he wasn't even afraid to confront God with his character. And God didn't take offense. As another aspect of his character. If it was you and I, we'd say, who are you talking to? Don't you know I'm God? Anyway, I'm a sharp guy. On Sofemi, he shall not the judge of the earth do right. Because, thank God, God's not like you. God didn't take offense. In fact, God was delighted. God likes it when you confront him with his character. Not in an arrogant... Abraham was not being rebellious. In fact, he kept telling God, God, you know, I know I'm but dust and ashes. He was in a humble attitude. But the truth was still, he trusted in God's integrity. I said, you will not. He said, if I find 50 righteous people, will you? God said, no, I won't. You're right. I'm righteous. And he said, well, okay, don't be angry. 20. God said, yeah, no problem. 10. God said, yeah, 10. You know, if he had negotiated down to one, he would have got it. He was just afraid. He had pushed God. We see one in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 1. He said, go through all the streets of Jerusalem. He said, you find one man. He said, I will spare the place. So you see progressive revelation. In Genesis, it was 10. By the time he got to Jeremiah, it was 1. It's one of the reasons why God has saved Nigeria. You know, when you are praying for Nigeria, always tell yourself this in your heart. Say, even if it is only me. Now, it's not only you. But even if it is only me, God will say, he will give you faith to pray. Amen. Are you listening to me? So, honesty. Reliability. What makes God reliable? His power. God's
omnipotent. He's reliable. God is not the kind of person who can make excuses. Oh, you know, I couldn't do this. There was no power. He's never under the circumstances. He's always on top of it. And I give you two scriptures to nail that down. I'll just hit them running. The first one is in Genesis chapter 18 in verse 14. When he appeared about Sarah, he said, is there anything what too hard? That's why he's reliable. You know what Paul said? The same truth. Paul, quoting in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 4, he said that Abraham faced the fact. I like that. Face facts, so. Don't live in denial. Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And that Sarah's womb was past. He said, but he staggered not in unbelief at the promise of God. Watch this. But was fully persuaded that God had the power, reliability, to do what he had said. You've got to get to that place in your Christian life where you don't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. No matter what it is, face the fact. Yes, this is true. But God's power can fix it. No matter how terrible the situation. Like mommy was sharing this today from John 16. In the world you will have tribulation. He didn't say you won't have that. Let's face the fact, there will be tribulation, there will be problem. But the power of God will overcome any tribulation. Give the Lord a clap offering. Yeah. That's why I said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Connect, I'm paraphrasing now, connect to me, get my power and overcome the tribulation. They will be there, but they're nothing to make you frightened. They're not to discourage you. Hallelujah. So God is reliable. The same truth comes out when the angel appeared to Mary. Contrast Mary and Zechariah. You know, I've written in my personal Bible study recently. Again, it never ceases to amaze me. A man who had been a priest for many years, knew his Bible, you know, the Old Testament, knew the, you know. Why would an angel surprise a man like Zechariah? And then the angel brings good news and says, Zechariah, praise God. Your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth, I would have thought that Zechariah would be jumping. I said, thank God, praise God, praise God, praise God, Gabriel, praise God. You know, yeah. So when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? That should have been the reaction. Sadly, the reaction was the exact opposite. Unbelief. Unbelief is a thing. I got another text. And it is this. Just like you cultivate thanksgiving, you can cultivate unbelief. It's an attitude. You're so used to questioning everything God says. So you cultivate it and cultivate it and cultivate it. So when, like Zechariah, so when a whole angel, a whole Gabriel appears to you, instead of easily believing, you just fall into your habit. You see, if you have a habit of thanksgiving, see, if you learn to thank God, even when there's no problem, thank God for waking up, thank God for walking on the road, thank God for good food, thank God for rain, thank God for sunshine, simple things that we take for granted. You know what you're doing? You are cultivating an attitude of thanksgiving. When real problem comes, is that attitude that will come up? Because it's whatever, train up a child in the way in which you should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. It's what you train yourself with that you will respond with. Hello, somebody. That's it. So cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving. Cultivate an attitude of faith. Look at Mary. The same angel. The same place. The same nation of Israel. Mary was not even in the temple. Not even in a religious designated place. The angel just came. Say, Hail Mary, full of grace, blah, blah, blah. You know, you have found it. It says you have a child. Mary didn't doubt. Mary didn't say, how shall I know? She said, how shall this thing be? I don't know the man. It will happen, but what do you want me to do? That's what Mary was asking. What do you want me to do? I'm a virgin. So, you know, who do you want me to marry? Or what do you want me? How am I going to have this baby? She did not doubt she will have the baby because God has said it. Question was now to cooperate intelligently with God to get it. So he said, how shall this thing be? Then the angel answered her, this is God's reliability. He said, the power of God, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Then that holy thing which shall be called the what? Then he said something. He said, your sister, your cousin, Elizabeth, this is her fifth month that was called barren. For with God, nothing. Everybody shouted.
Nothing.
I didn't hear you.
Nothing.
For with, everybody say, for with God, shout it now.
Amen.
Shall be impossible. Totally reliable. Totally 100% reliable. And the last part of this character is consistency. And these are scriptures we've mentioned earlier today, so I'm not going to hit it. You know, since in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is not good today and bad tomorrow. He's good all the time. Even when he does things that seem to be bad, or God doesn't do bad, that seem to be hurtful, that hurt us physically and materially, you know, and things like that, you know, the motive and the end point of that thing is going to be good. And that's something you've got to understand. And you have these scriptures, I just hit them running. Psalm 89 verse 6, my word, my covenant will I not break, neither shall I alter what is gone out of my mouth. God is consistent. He's not going to change what he said. That's why we can rely on the Bible. He will not change. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12. Give me that in the New International Version. This is what gives you confidence in God. The Lord said unto me, I can't hear you. You have seen correctly. I love this. For I am what? Watching to see that my word is what? In other words, I'm not irresponsible. I told you something. You know, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm watching over it. You know, one thing you can always tell God, and I'm learning to tell God that more and more frequently every day. Whenever a thought comes to me of doubt, maybe there's someone I'm believing God for, you know, and the thing has not yet happened, and the thought of doubt, the thought of fear comes, I always replied, I'm learning to always reply with two things. One, thanksgiving. Father, I thank you, and I know you are working on it. It's not happening yet, but you are watching over it to perform it. You're working on it. And for that, I'm grateful. So whenever you're in a place, you're always in between two places. You're between the place of a promise that has been given and the manifestation of the promise. It's like a journey. You haven't got there yet, but on the way, from the time where God has said this was going to happen, or this is what I promise, to the point where the thing comes to pass, is a journey. Along the way, you will be tempted to doubt. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11, I shall not doubt. Where? In his heart. So whenever the thought of doubt comes, immediately you just rectify it with thanksgiving. Rectified with that. Father, I thank you. It hasn't happened yet, but I know you are working on it, because you are consistent, you are reliable, you are honest, and I know you are watching over this word to perform it. And in due season, it will come. And therefore, I can give you thanks, even though I've not seen it yet. All this comes by understanding God's integrity. The reason why God is having us, this is a landmark message, to share this, is twofold. One, we've mentioned from Hebrews that we may have a strong encouragement, so you don't give up hope, so you don't faint, so your faith doesn't become weak. The second reason, and this is also just as important, if not more important, is so that you can copy God and become like God. This in fact, this is what God wants. He wants his children to be people of integrity. So you two become honest. Let the people say, it's impossible for Pastor Luby to lie. Oh, Pastor Sarah, she's reliable. She's consistent. Ah, if you go to that place, if they tell you that that's how it's going to be, they are always, I've had experience with them. Everything they tell you, that's the way it is. And you know, the only thing that can make us like that is God. It's only God who can make us consistently honest, consistently reliable, and consistently consistent. Hallelujah. Only God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 in the Amplified Bible. We just want to bring out this fact. And then we're going to show you how we're going to do it and then we'll close. Therefore, I did not hear you.
Therefore.
Be what? Imitators of God. What? Copy him and what? Follow his example as what? Well-beloved children. Do what? Imitate their father. Just this. Become a person. You see, the more you become a person of integrity yourself, the easier it is for you to believe that God is a person of integrity. If you watch over your word to perform it, it's very easy for you to believe that God is watch over his word to perform it. If you tell somebody, I'm going to be there by 5:30 in the evening, and once it is 3 o'clock, you start looking at your watch. I have to watch over my word to perform it. So when circumstances happen, begin to happen that don't want you to make that 5:30 appointment, you start working against it. You can now understand how God too is watching over his word in your life to perform it. But when you yourself are not a person of integrity and you just say things carelessly, I'll be there at 5:30, you don't even give it another thought, then it's 7 o'clock. You know what you think when it's God's turn? And that's why you doubt. Because you think God is like you. When your word is out there, make sure you watch over it to perform it. If for any reason you're not going to make that 5:30. It's an exercise in integrity. Once it's 5 o'clock, start calling the person. I'm walking towards 5:30. But if for any reason I cannot make it, please let's make a contingency. That's integrity. Not a person who is 5:30, 5:37, 5:40, 1 hour. You don't even hear from them. Then the next thing you hear from them, say, oh, that's sorry. You know, today the thing just died. You know, tomorrow you will not trust him. Tomorrow you can't. If somebody comes to you and says, that person, you want to, don't keep word there. 419, who matter any. And it may not be the person is dishonest, it may just be the person just reliable. It's a character flaw. Now, how does God maintain his integrity? I've mentioned this earlier, and I want to hit it now in more detail. Power. God, watch this. This is like a feedback loop. God uses his power to maintain his character. God is all powerful, but he uses that power to make sure, that's why he's honest. He's not afraid of anybody. He uses power to make sure that whatever he has said will come to pass. He's reliable. He uses his power to make sure he's reliable. He's consistent. He uses his power to make sure that he's consistent. And you see this. The Bible uses, I preached it many years ago, you know, the power of godliness. See, we talk about power to heal, power to deliver, power to break yokes, power for prosperity, power for this and power for that. They're not wrong. But the power of God, you should want godliness, for godlikeness. Use the power of God to be like God. So use the power of God to be honest. Use the power of God to be reliable. Use the power of God to be consistent. So when you pray, your main prayers, You pray other prayers too, but your primary prayers are to develop character. It's very interesting. God has wisdom. God has power, but God is never called wisdom or power. He's called love. God is love. You never see in the Bible say God is power. You never see in the Bible where it says God is wisdom. He has those things. Those are attributes. But he places emphasis on his character. God is love. Then that is what love is. Patient, kind, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all those characteristics. He uses his power to maintain his character. And then with that character, he now does all the other things. You know, the healing, the deliverance, and all those things. You should use the power of God to maintain your character. Use the power of God to maintain. That's why you pray every day to keep in the love of God. To perfect the love of God. What are you doing? You're using the power of God. But you're not using it. I use the power of God so I be honest. Be afraid of anybody. Perfect love casteth out fear. So I don't need to lie to anybody. I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm not trying to impress anybody. Nobody can hurt me. So I don't have to lie. Look at Daniel. When the decree was made for the lion's den, if he prays to any other god, Daniel deliberately opened the window. Deliberately. Go and read it. Don't have time to turn there. The Bible says he opened the window so they could see. You know why? Daniel wasn't afraid. Watch this. The God that delivered him from Nebuchadnezzar, when he first came to Babylon, who wanted and gave him the interpretation of the dream. The God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire, is he not the same God who would deliver him out of the lion's den? So, because of his understanding and faith in God, he was able to do what is right. His integrity was not compromised because of fear. Many times our integrity is compromised because of fear. So if you perfect the love of God, it will drive out fear, and then you'll be like God. You won't have to lie to anybody because you're not afraid of them. Hello? You won't have to lie to anybody because you want to get money, because you know your God will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know that, so you're not afraid. You see, what makes people afraid and lie, you know, and become dishonest is because they don't trust God. When you trust God and you're not afraid because you know that God will meet your need. So it's very important to use the power of God, the power of godliness, godlikeness. You see, godliness doesn't just mean having a godly disposition and being a nice man. That's part of it. That's a very small subset, you know, of the bigger picture. The bigger picture, God is being like God, and in particular, in the context of this message, have becoming a person of integrity. Being like God in integrity, being like God in honesty, being like God in reliability, being like God in consistency. So I direct the power of God in my life to make me honest. I direct the power of God in my life to make me reliable. I direct the power of God in my life to make me consistent. So when you talk to me, it's like talking to God. When I tell you something, it's just like God telling you. Just like God watches over his word to perform it, I watch over my word to perform it. Just like God is reliable, I am reliable by the same power that God is reliable. That same power, I use it to be reliable. Just like God is consistent, I use the same power to become consistent like God is consistent. I'm going to close with a revolutionary revelation. How does God do this? I'm talking about his relationship to us as men on the earth. He does it through prayer. There are two things God does with prayer. And it's made a lot of things clearer to me as a person. And it will make it clearer to you. And then you can... The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. You start thinking like God. And then you start walking. You say we are laborers together with him. Then you begin to understand what's going on. And then you become like God. You become, like Mommy was saying today, you come to a place of rest. A place of anger. When things are not even happening, you know it's going to happen. It's just a question of time. And you know what to do in between now and when it happens. So you come into a place of peace. God does two things. He stores prayers. Everybody say store. And then he releases prayers. See, when God has a project, when he has something he wants to do, that thing may be, let's use the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth. It may be thousands of years ahead of time. God starts preparing for it now. So that's why God is never, he's not like us, we'll start shaking all over the whole place. He starts, from the Garden of Eden, he'll start to store the prayer. He will store it. 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 As the season of fulfillment approaches, he will begin to release power, measured, to fulfill, to cause everything to work together to fulfill that purpose. I used to wonder, and the Lord used this message to make it clear to me. I used to wonder why there was 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. The prophet, the last one who spoke was Malachi. He was quiet, then there was quiet for 400 years. I said, God. He said, because I was watching over something to perform it. I said, God, explain to me. He said, do you remember in Genesis, I told Abraham that your people will be in there for what? 400 years. I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? He says, go back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, give me this in the one of the modern translations where it says that he gave the signs, you know, to mark religious festivals. There's one of the translations that has that. It's not this one. One of the newer ones, you know. But even if you don't get it, he says, God said, let there be light. This moon, this blood moon thing, you know, in the expanse of the sky. And separate them from night and the day. Right. Thank you. Everybody read it. Says, then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate what? From the night, and they will serve as what? Signs for what? And for? And yes, now we understand the days and years, October, November, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the revolution of the earth. But look at it. Signs, festivals. Now watch this. There was no festival at this time. What's it? When Genesis 1:1, when of course it was Moses who wrote it, you know, but by the, at that time, when God had just was recreating the earth and making Adam, there was no Feast of Tabernacles. There was no feast. There was no festival. God had already pre-programmed that the heavens will herald those festivals before he ever talked about the festivals to man. Amen. You know, you're dealing with a sharp God. He had already pre-programmed it. So you know what happened? I went to do the research. I went to NASA. They have a website showing all the blood moons and the religious, you know, this is pure astronomy now. This is not pure science now, you know. And I went to check back. At the time, Pastor G, honey, you will not believe it. At the time of the Exodus, B.C. 1579. I went to check it. This was around the time of Moses. Do you understand? There was a blood moon. So God was waiting for it. Because he was going to use it as a landmark down through the years. So he told Abraham, chill for 400 years. Chill for 400 years. Then there was another reason. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet. They are bad, oh. But I have to be God. I am righteous. The habitation of my throne is justice and judgment, even though they deserve to be removed. I have to let them commit the crime that will justify my removing them and putting Israel there. So I have to give them time. Either time to repent or time to do, so that I will be justified. Look, folks, judgment day will be interesting. He said that thou mayest be justified when thou art judged. God is a righteous, he is even with himself. He will not do, he won't hide anything. Have you noticed the Bible does not hide anything? When God repented, the Bible said God repented. If it was you and I, that would not be inside the Bible. Well, Lord, if I might go repent. Moses confronted him. He said, be far from you. Yeah, if you do this, the Egyptians will say you brought them out and you could not, you know. The Bible said God was angry. He was angry, boiling. And he was righteous. Because they had done that thing 10 times. And remove God away from Moses. And let me deal with these people. And he didn't forget to. He said, I will make a great nation out of you. Because it's still the seed of Abraham. So he had thought out how he was going to do it. And still fulfill his word. He said, remove them. They remove from my face. Ah! God, you know what Moses says? He said, turn from this your fierce anger. Oso, kujabo. Olamole. In our language, that means he said it didn't just drop. He said it before God. He said, the Egyptian, you know why? God, Moses was the person responsible for bringing those people out. And he knows the wahala. And the problem that he had bringing the people. And for all his work just to disappear in one day. And just kill all these. You know, if he was a lesser man, he would say, hey, God will make me a great nation. He was not like Hezekiah. God loved Moses loved the people. He knew they were troublesome, but he knew there were good people amongst them. So he told God, he said, God, if you do this, the Egyptians will say, you know, everything they've always said, because you couldn't deliver them, that's why you come and destroy all of them in the wilderness. He said, now turn from this your fierce anger. The Bible says, and God repented. Only a God of integrity will record that. That's the difference. I got another text. That between our God and the other gods. The other gods, their books tell lies. Our God, his word is truth. Give the Lord a clap of him. He doesn't lie. He will tell you the way it is. Amen. He says, and God repented. So, God was storing up the prayers. Look at, I'm going to give you two scriptures as we begin to close. Revelation chapter 5 verse 8. I discovered the scripture many, many years ago. It helped my faith tremendously. Revelation chapter 5 verse 8. I'm going to just stay with the King James. I'll shift if I need to, you know. And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts, and the 420 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them, what? Harps and what? Golden vials full of what? Which are the what? So God keeps the prayers of the saints inside a vial. Don't your neighbor say, your prayers are never wasted. Even if it looks as if they are not being answered. They are being stored up for a time and for a season. That's what kept Anna going. Anytime I think of that woman, I get humbled. We've been praying for this manifestation of God maybe 20 years. And some of us are feeling this and that, that, that. What's wrong with you? 60 years. I didn't say 6 weeks. And she kept believing. She was a young girl, maybe 17, 18 years old, got married. Her husband died. So she was probably 24, 25. The Bible says she served God with fastings and prayers. she departed not. That doesn't mean she was sleeping there. It just means she went every day. From the temple, with fasting and prayer. That woman was seeing her prayer stored up. She wasn't seeing any answer. First year, no Messiah. Second year, no Messiah. Third year, no Messiah. 10th year, no Messiah. 15th year, no Messiah. 20th year, no Messiah. 25th year, no Messiah. 30th year, no Messiah. 40th year, no Messiah. Ah! God! Where are you? You know, most of us would have gone bitter. Most of the Christians today would have been very bitter with God. My husband died. I didn't remarry. I've been serving you with fasting and prayer for 10 years, 15 years. Okay, at least everybody knows I've tried. Hello. But that means you don't know God. Integrity, God's integrity. That prayer was being stored up. It was being stored up. 60 years! She's even thinking, I probably will die. And this thing will not happen. You know, even that, it takes faith. The Bible says, these who died in faith, not having seen, received the promises, but has seen them afar. God honors faith, though. Even when the thing doesn't happen, if you trust God, God will count it for you for righteousness. The Bible says so in Hebrews chapter 11. He said they received a what? Good report. They refused to doubt God even when they died and the promise hadn't yet come. Because they know that my walk with God is not just for now, it's also for eternity. Talk about a paradigm shift. We have to change. You see, what mommy was talking about in the morning, this is the thing that will bring us to that place of stability. Be like Zion. Even if I die and this thing doesn't happen, that's not going to make me doubt God's integrity. God's still God. Anyway, 60 years, the thing was stored there. Then, as that time approached, Jesus was a baby, had just been born. Few weeks. So, if we just rewind the tape, if we can use that expression, to like a year before, God began to release the power. Whew! An angel just flies to Zechariah, gives him the news of John the Baptist. Zechariah does not believe, so we know it was not Zechariah's faith. Isn't that amazing? It wasn't Zechariah's faith. If it was Zechariah's faith, he would have believed. It wasn't even Zechariah's prayers. I'm going to explain that in a minute. Let me correct that. It wasn't Zechariah's prayers alone. If it was Zechariah's prayers alone, it would never have happened. Because we know his prayers were not sufficient. They didn't avail much. Because Zechariah was in unbelief. Yet, it happened through Zechariah's body. He was already an old man. His wife was already old. Who did the miracle inside both of their bodies when they didn't believe? God used the prayer of somebody else. A woman called Anna. She was the real mother of John the Baptist. Another message for another day. In the spirit. She gave birth. In the spirit. It was the power of God that was released, that came and sat on Zechariah, changed his body and shut his mouth. So he would not use his mouth to spoil the work, the spiritual work that was going on inside his body and that of his wife. And when the time came, I like what Gabriel said. He said, my words shall be fulfilled in their season. 9 months. Bam! The baby was conceived. John the Baptist was born. 6 months later, Jesus was conceived. Jesus was born. The plan had not ended, but it had started. The power began to be released. God, everybody say, God stores and he releases prayers. to fulfill his word. Now go to Revelation chapter 8. Let me show you something beautiful. Revelation chapter 8. And we're going to look from verse 3. Revelation chapter 8. I'm going to hit this right. It says, and another angel said to me, or came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense. Stop! What's incense? The prayers of the saints. Correct? Remember Revelation chapter 5 verse 8 says the incense was the prayers of the saints. Now watch this. He says, I was given unto him what? Much incense that he should offer it with the prayer of what? All the saints. So there's a difference between the prayer of all the saints and the prayer of the saints. So what God does, and you look at it, he says, upon the what? Golden altar, which was before the throne. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with what? Fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. See, the prayer was stored. The one that came up, God took some of it, mixed it with the prayer of all the saints, put it on the altar of mercy, and then released it into the earth. Give the Lord a clap offering.
Amen.
Release it. And you know that thing is happening all the time. That's why the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication for what? All the saints. So as we pray some of the prayer, God will store it. He will store it. He will store it. He will store it. When the season is approaching, when you pray, he will not take that your little prayer, that Zechariah prayer. He will now mix it with the prayer of all the saints upon the altar of mercy. That's why it's called the mercy throne. That's why it is not of him that runneth, of him that willeth, but of God that sheweth. That's why you have to have faith in the mercy of God. Your prayers are important, but they are not sufficient. Your prayer, God will take your prayer, then he will mix it with the prayer of all the saints and put mercy on top of it. Then he'll release into the earth. Then it will avail much. Is it clear? Is it clear? So this is what happened, you know. So over the years, so that first blood moon happened around the time of Exodus, because God had decided that he was going to use the moons and the sun and the earth, you know, the heavens to mark religious festivals. So God knew. So he just waited 400 years. So when the blood moon time began to approach, he now appeared in the burning bush to Moses. Now go to Egypt. God was already calculating the time. God's not stupid, though. God is not. I've come to respect God. From Abraham. God was watching the time. I watch over my word to perform it. So as the time began to approach, do you understand? This Moses, he will just kill himself and kill everybody. So once he killed the Egyptian, he made him run away. And kept him in the backside of the desert. All that time, God was watching over him. Nothing must happen to Moses. No snake will bite him. No evil will befall him. I will keep him until the time. So when the time, the blood moon was approaching, it hadn't yet come, but it was approaching. He appears to him in a burning bush and said, now go to Egypt and deliver my people. Then he gives him all the signs, all the plagues. The time was approaching. And as the time was approaching, now saying, now this shall be the beginning of months for you. Now this shall be the beginning of months. The 14th month, the 14th day of the first month, it shall be the beginning of month for you. And all through your generations, you will watch over this particular time, for it is the Lord's Passover. It was not planned that day. It was planned from Genesis chapter 1. Give the Lord a clap offering. Integrity. God's integrity. And that passed. Moses delivers the people. They enter the promised land. He institutes the feast. The feast of Passover, tabernacles, Pentecost. Says it shall be, for unto all your generations. Wind down. 4,000 years later, Jesus is born as a baby in Bethlehem. He grows up to 30 years old. when he's 30 years old, around the season, he now calls him just around Passover. He just before Passover, he makes him turn water to wine in Cana. God knows what he's doing, folks. 3 years down the road, Jesus is going to die on the cross. He goes to the place, it's a blood moon. AD 33, another blood moon. An eclipse of the earth to fulfill his word from Genesis. Fast down track the road, 2015. Glory be to God. Amen. 30 years before he takes little boys like me and my wife and begins to teach us prayer. We don't know what we're doing. Life scripture, travail, groaning, prayer, the word. He's walking towards a timetable. There is a time to every purpose. He's watching over his word to perform it. We did not know anything about blood moon 30 years ago. We didn't even know it 20 years ago. We didn't even know it 10 years ago. We didn't even know it 5 years ago. We didn't even know it 2 years ago. But God did. Watching over his word to perform it. Watching over his word to perform it. And so he begins to put everything in place. The clusters, the prayers, Gideon, Man-Child Company. You think you're just doing it? There's a God who is watching over his word to perform it. There's an appointed time. He's walking towards a timetable. A time and a season. Hallelujah. So you can see the pattern right from Genesis through Exodus, through the time of Christ, down through the years. You will see God watching over his word. So when you're praying, however small, that's why I will encourage people. Like mommy said the other day, when I preach about these things, clusters, she said, look, even if it's 10 minutes, even if it's 15 minutes, it's not wasted. Do what you can. The prayers of the saints came up as incense. They're kept in golden vials. Then when the time, as the time is approaching, he will take it, he will mix it with the prayers of all the saints. Put it on the altar and then cast it into the earth. So that his kingdom will come and his will be done. In closing, you can totally, and I say this with every conviction, every fiber of my being, you can completely and totally rely on God. He watches over his word to perform it. He does it by storing prayer and by releasing prayer at the right season. Don't give up. Rejoicing in hope. Patience in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer, and you will always overcome. Let us pray.
Brethren, I just want to show us something from that Revelation chapter 8, verse 5, about the storing up of the prayers of the saints. Now 8:5. And see, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now remember, Paul and Silas, when they prayed, remember when they Paul saw in the prison, they were cast out into the prison. This, you see, when you say, who told you all these things? You cannot manufacture things that are not true. This thing was said in Revelation, and look at what happened in Acts. Paul and Silas prayed. And the Bible says when they prayed. But listen, they were not just the only ones praying. Remember, the saints were also praying. The church was praying. No wonder I used to say, why, oh God, why did you have to come with an earthquake now? Yeah, now, earthquake. You could have just removed the bounds. It's you, God. Just silence me. But there was a scripture that had to be fulfilled to show us that this thing is true. praying. Paul and Silas were praying. God mixed it together. And then Saul, what do we hear? The sound of an earthquake. And the bands were loosed. Brethren, it showed you that it was God that did it. Because when Rhoda came to tell them, they didn't believe. And they were praying. So God superimposed His mercy on all our prayers.
Amen. That, brethren, is what gives you faith. It gives you assurance. It is not of him that runneth, but I will run. It is not of him that willeth, but I will will. But it is of God that showeth mercy. So God will now put his mercy on my running and my willing, and then my running and my willing will not be in vain. Give the Lord a clap offering. Stand to your feet. Ha! Look at that. Honey, thank God for that. Can you see where that earthquake was? When I prepared the message, I didn't see the earthquake. It's the Holy Ghost. You see, that's revelation knowledge. See, this you know what you saw this afternoon? Here a little, there a little. The power of God that was released from heaven into the earth came with an earthquake to fulfill Revelation chapter 8. This thing has been going on. Let me tell you, folks, there is activity in heaven all the time. The throne room is never quiet. There's always activity. He says, and I beheld, and a ladder went from heaven, and angels were going up and down. Up, there's constant activity. Constantly. Taking the prayers up, mixing them, and bringing them down. So what are you going to do? Are you going to become a person of integrity like God? Like God, are you going to use store prayers, allow God? That's why you need to pray. See, prayerless Christians cannot become people of integrity. They don't have anything to, you know, they don't have the power of God to keep them honest, to keep them reliable, to keep them consistent. They buckle under the tribulations and the circumstances of the earth. But if you become a prayerful, that's why it says rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. It's a threefold formula. Then continue what? Instant in prayer. The more you do that, the more of a person of integrity you'll be. The stronger you'll be. The less fear, the less that. Yeah, it will come. Tribulation will come and all of that. But you'll be like Daniel. You open your windows. Even though you know you're going to the lion's den. You know why? You know God is going to meet you in the lion's den. The God that delivered you in Daniel chapter 1. Say, Pastor, I'm not in Daniel. You have your own Daniel chapter 1. You understand? There's a Sarah chapter 1. Yes, it's true. Every life here is a book. The God that delivered, I'll use my wife as an example. The God that delivered you in Sarah chapter 1 is the same God that will deliver you in Sarah chapter 6. You may be in chapter 5 now. You're looking at chapter 6 in front of your life. I understand. The God who was faithful, every one of us has a story. The God who was faithful in your chapter 1 is going to be faithful in your chapter 6. And then it's going to be faithful in your chapter 9. And it's going to be faithful in your chapter 10. And it's going to be faithful at the end. Don't to your neighbor say, don't worry. Chill. God is in control.
God is in control.
Hallelujah.
You don't need. Don't you be afraid.
Joy comes in the morning.
Joy comes in the morning.
Sorrows, they don't last.
Sorrows, they don't last always.
Tears away.
And if your heart is broken,
and if your heart is broken,
just lift
I said this message is a landmark message. Not just prophetic, it's landmark, it's eternal. God's integrity. And it's His integrity that gives integrity to His word. But I've deliberately titled it God's integrity. That's why you don't have to worry. You're dealing with somebody who is absolutely honest, absolutely reliable, absolutely consistent. All you do is stay connected to Him. That's all. Our problem is we're not connected. We break the connection. Don't pray. We don't break the connection. Then we're full of fear and doubt and all of those things. Once that connection and the thing is flowing, what mommy's described this morning will be there. That peace. That stability. Even when there's problem around, you know that you will make it. Like the Shunammite woman, it is well. The child just died, but it is well. Because I'm dealing with a reliable God. It is well. Turn. Put that hand on that heart. Raise the other hand to God. I want you to make a covenant with God today. It's a personal covenant. That God, from today, I will trust in your integrity. We're going to pray together in a minute. But I want you to do it from your own heart. Say, God, I now understand better. You're not like us. You're a person of integrity. Say it in your heart to Him. I've seen your honesty, even when we didn't make you paint you in such a good picture. When you repented, you were honest enough to write it down. It's impossible for you to lie, so I'm settled. I've seen your reliability. There's nothing too hard for you. And I've seen your consistency. In you there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You watch over your word to fulfill it over thousands and hundreds of years. I know I can rely on you. Not only by my own prayers, but you will use my prayers, you will mix it with the prayer of all the saints, you will put your mercy on top of it, and it will work for me. I understand now. So I approach you with a humble heart. I approach you with a right attitude. And I consecrate to continue to walk with you, trusting in your integrity to use whatever I put out, small or big. And I now know you're such a good person. And I trust you. However long it may seem to take, I know you will take it, you will mix it, you will release it, and in due season, you will bring it to pass. I trust you. Tell Him that. He wants to hear it. I trust you. Good. Then tell Him one other thing. We're going to pray in a minute. Say, God, as you have shown me today, I will concentrate and continue and increase in using your power to make me myself a person of integrity like you. I will use your power to make myself more honest. I will use your power to make myself more reliable. I will use your power to make myself more consistent. I'm going to copy your example. I'm going to imitate you, as you told me your word. Say it in your heart. Good. Now let us pray together. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. My God and my Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, showing me that you are a God, a person of integrity, showing me that I can totally rely on you, no matter what is happening around me, showing me that I need to have an attitude of thanksgiving. Cultivate it, because it is the vehicle for multiplication and glorification. Oh my God. Oh my God. Have mercy on me. Like my father Abraham. Today. 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 The 16th of August. In the year of our Lord. 2015. I make a covenant with you. I make a covenant with you. To trust you at all times, knowing your integrity, your honesty, your reliability, and your consistency. Even when there is a frowning providence, even when there is a frowning providence, I know behind it you're hiding a smiling face. In the middle of any situation, I covenant with you. I covenant with you. I will not worry. I will not doubt. I will not murmur. I will not complain. When I am tempted, and I know I will be, to doubt. When I am tempted to fear. When I am tempted to worry. When I am tempted to murmur. When I am tempted to complain. I will respond with thanksgiving. God, I covenant that. I will respond with thanksgiving. I will say, Father, I thank you in this situation. I don't like it. It's not a nice situation, but it does not change who you are. And I thank you in this situation, and I know you are already working for my good, working around the situation to bring me a victorious end out of this. And I trust you. I trust you, and I thank you. I will do that anytime I am tempted to worry, to fear, to doubt, to murmur, and to complain. I covenant to develop my personal integrity, just as you are a person of integrity by your mercy, your grace, and your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Nekatofred. Liprikatus to feeling the toros. Check it. See, this is what we're tongues and power is to use to develop character. Nikatola, this power now is going into your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, to make you a person of honesty, a person of reliability, a person of consistency.
in Jesus' name.